When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The movies are back, baby, and if you're looking for a weekly podcast to keep up with all the new releases and all the hottest news and rumors coming out of Hollywood, check out Movies, Baby, with 5 Y's. Is Emma Stone on track for greatest actress of all time?
What's the best Godzilla movie of all?
What's up with John Cena?
Love Lies Bleeding? We'll take more where that came from.
What movie should have won Best Picture at this year's Oscars?
Hint. The name of 2 months and they ain't close together.
Those are just some of the topics we've discussed on recent episodes of Movies Baby. Every week on Movies Baby, Forever Dog co-founders and lifelong movie fanatics Brett and Joe break down the hottest movie news, review the latest releases, shout out forgotten classics, and prophesy the future of Hollywood. You can listen to Movies Baby wherever you get podcasts, and you can watch Movies Baby live every Thursday night on YouTube at Movies Baby with 5 Y's. Movies Baby!
These hands are small, I know, but they're not yours, they are my...
What is that?
It's Jewel, duh.
Oh, no, girl. We're talking about Jewel Tones.
Oh, that's right. It's time for the Glitter Ball. The Glitter Ball.
Would you say it's better or worse than the Bitch Ball?
I think it's better. It's bitter glitter.
Who's that shining in that brooch? It's the Glitter Ball. This week... on Race Chaser Classiqua, the top 5 divas from season 6. Thank you for the late fucking foghorn at my fucking musical styling.
The Glitter Ball.
The top 5 divas from season 6 are doing impressions of one another with puppets, and then they battle it out on the main stage in 3 looks apiece, my love.
Bob Mackie is a guest judge, Khloe Kardashian is back, and Michelle is just not impressed with Courtney's beauty.
No, the beauty gimmick. So come aboard our boat and let's go sailing through the refreshing waters of another episode of Race Chaser
Classique. Bum, 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 bum.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser.
Hello.
Hello, and welcome back to Race Chaser Classique, a podcast dedicated to the discussion, dissection,
and dissemination
of every single episode of RuPaul's Drag Race, starting from the very beginning.
This is the beginning.
My name's Alaska. What's yours?
Hello, I'm Willem.
We are back again in the land of Gia Guns and Laganjas, season 6.
Season six is sensational. Last week, through the amazing technology feats, we were able to unearth the Forbidden Makeover episode from season 6 and watch a straight man squirm while Jocelyn Fox turned him into the Tin Woman. The other queens did makeovers as well. Because
metallics are very in this season.
Honey, in the right spot they are. The other queens did makeovers as well, but... they were twerking in bodysuits covered in paint for the mini challenge. And RuPaul told the divas, well, it's time for a wedding. But the girls didn't make over the ladies. They made over the grooms into brides for a drag wedding. And Bianca won the challenge. Adore and Jocelyn were in the bottom 2. And they got to lip sync. Mm-hmm. And then they got in the funky way. And Adore, with her passion, stayed to fight another day. And Jocelyn was told to keep it foxy, but hit the door.
Wonk, wonk. And this week, of course, our pussies are on sapphire because it is the glitter,
the
ball.
Glitter ball.
Ooh, glitter.
Ooh. Glitrageous.
The divas walk into the workroom. They walk into the club. And there's a lipstick message that reads,
"Forever sisters. Keep it foxy. Love your guts. Jocelyn. Wonk wonk."
Aww, that's sweet. We love her.
The girls are obviously sad to see her go, but they did not want her there standing in their way of the crown. But they give a congratulatory womp womp to her.
Exactly. And Adore is feeling energized. She just won a lip sync. And she's like, "I never want to be in the bottom two again." She said, "It sucks donkey dick, my love." And Dayla says, you did great, hon, except you look like the barefoot girl from The Grudge."
I just realized that most animals don't know the pleasure of oral sex other than mammals. Like, a donkey can't blow another donkey. All they can do is fuck. No foreplay.
Yeah, they probably, maybe they do a little. Like,
I've never seen a lioness blow a lion.
No, but I'm sure it's happened.
Who?
I don't know. They lick their own junk.
I mean, drag queens can sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess we should concentrate, though. Never mind. I was just worrying about donkey dicks, and instead, we should be worried about Bianca going to Hawaii because she won a prize last week when she won this honeymoon. She got her own little honeymoon, and she said she'll send everyone a postcard from Hawaii because she said, "You're my sisters."
She said it really sarcastically and mean, which is the Bianca way. Mm-hmm. And Dayla seems to think Bianca is just coasting on through and that she's just napping on the couch while soaking up wins like a sponge.
Well, I don't know how she could coast without Delilah present. But instead of Delilah, we got Delilah, love songs on the coast.
Delilah.
Darian was plucked that she didn't get better critiques on her makeover. She was not happy with our friend of the pod, David Life is a Party Burtka.
She said, was not featuring Ms. David Burtka in this moment.
Or my daughter Neil. She didn't like either of them.
She said Doogie Howser and his Val Kilmer knockoff boyfriend.
She said they need $1.50 and then they can go take the bus. Oh, honey, no. Don't you talk about my babies like that.
No, oh, there, no,
no. No, 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 no,
no, no. Out-of-pocket experiences.
Definitely. And I didn't even know she had pockets.
there it is. Wow, it's been a while for that one.
Been a while.
It's been a while.
Darian's one of those girls that the edit is letting her appear that she thinks she did better than what the judges are saying.
Sure. And she's mad, but like that sometimes happens. They you know, they don't praise you when you did well so that you snap and become dramatic because that makes better TV. Mm-hmm. That's normal.
Even if you have a sliver of a hip pad in.
We'll get to that. Courtney, however, is a psychic, and she says that after meeting everyone at the beginning of the competition, she wrote down in her diary a prediction of her top five, and this was the group. Do you believe that? I mean, why would Courtney lie? She doesn't lie about stuff.
I mean, I picked my top six right, other than one person, so I basically picked my top five right.
Who was the person that you got wrong?
On first impressions, I thought the top five or the top six was going to be everybody that was, but instead of Dita, I had Princess in that spot.
Oh, okay.
Just off of first day looks before the challenge even happened.
Girl.
Like, I was sitting on the table just like making notes in my head.
There's
Did you pick yours right?
Going on. Well, I didn't know, but I wanted to go to the end with Detox and Roxy. Like we were just like, we were having a great time and we wanted to go all the way together. So, I mean, we made it to the final four together. So that's, you know,
yeah. That's the video message interrupts Courtney's Miss Cleo.
And my precious gems, to experience the sweet smell of success, you need to be the jewel in my crown. Shine bright like a diamond, or you can just pull my ring finger. Wah, 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 toilet flush. And then RuPaul comes in the workroom. Oh, my God.
Oh, so cute. And Courtney loves the game of Pull My Finger. So she's already excited. She's wondering what it's going to be. But it turns out to be a mini challenge about puppets. They're going to be puppeteering each other. And the Scruff Pit crew brings in this make-your-own-glory-hole.
And I know you've done puppeteering a few times on stage when you've put your fists up, people.
Yeah, that I have.
And through your voice.
I'm definitely a puppeteer of the stars.
Exactly. She really is. And everybody loves puppets. It's a tie-in to the Tammy Faye movie. I mean, could our timing be any better?
The girls choose puppets, and Adore gets Dayla. Bianca gets Adore. Darian gets Courtney. Dayla gets Bianca, and Courtney gets Darian. Do you think this was premeditated? Do you think someone was handing puppets through on the other side?
Yes.
Yes.
Well,
did that happen with your puppet time?
Well, I have to believe that it is premeditated because someone has to be back there handing out the next puppet. So yes, it's planned. But I wonder why Dayla didn't get Darian, because they had sort of sparks with each other, sort of clashed. But who knows?
But Dayla also has sparks with Bianca, and Bianca vocally in her interviews has disdain for Miss Dayla Prem.
Open disdain.
Yes. She's got a picture of it. She's pouring freely.
Right. The girls are throwing shade while they're getting in puppets, which is one of the best parts about the puppet mini challenge is you get to be like, oh, I'm really dragging this one up. Who was it that someone was like, oh, you got a door? You got the easiest one.
Yeah. Bianca gets a door. And the door's like, wait, why am I easy? And you're like, well, you're dirty tights. All you say is party. Cool. I'm a Libra.
Yeah.
Like, a door is pretty, like, I could do her now, like Azusa.
Yeah, she's a walking catchphrase machine.
Yeah,
easily imitatable, and I mean, that's the mark of an amazing Rue girl and a great public figure, if you ask me.
I saw her this week at Mickey's. Flawless.
She really is so stunning and gorgeous.
I don't know how she still looks in her 20s. Maybe because she is the bitch, but flawless. Adore's Dayla impression is also pretty flawless. It's got oatmeal chunky eyebrows and a huge feather fascinator. Is it costumey? Yes.
It was funny. She got in a few stingers and zingers. Mm-hmm. Darian makes the Courtney puppet a rude bully, which, I mean, that's in line with the edit for sure. And calls Courtney the oldest twink in living history. Now, is Courtney still a twink? Is she a twonk?
She's not a twonk.
She's
twonk.
Working out.
No, she's been toning.
She's stacked.
She
is stacked and jacked.
Honey, that wrist is the same size as her bicep. It's toned, but it's
That's
not.
That's because I don't lift over 5 pounds.
It's stoned, but it's toned, but it's not stacked at all. She looks nice. Her joke routine on Darian, she says she's trying to make Courtney. Her funny. And then she's like, I'm just not funny like Darian.
She at least recognizes that she's floundering, which, you know what? Part of being smart is knowing where you're dumb. And she realizes she's doing a shit job. And she's like, I wish I had Wi-Fi in here so I could look up some jokes. Which I don't know if she's shading Darian, saying that Darian steals jokes, or that she literally just needs to look up jokes to be funny.
Either or would have worked. But Dayla is...
This is triumphant.
Honey, she's going in on the Bianca puppet. And it's probably where most people get their impression of Bianca from, because Dayla's performance is so ingrained. Baloney! Just like, it's a gruff voice and fingernails for teeth.
We can talk about the jokes, which are abundant and hilarious and spot on. The voice representation was also really great. And the puppet work, she made the eyes all scary and buggy. The teeth are extreme. This was a fabulous impression by Ben De La Creme, and rightfully so, she becomes the winner. I work in New York. I have no problems.
I work all the time. So the main challenge, which Dayla will have the advantage on, is RuPaul is throwing the first ever glitter ball, mm-hmm. and the girls need to serve three distinct looks, which mm-hmm. is Banshee Girl Bling, mm-hmm. Platinum Card Executive Realness,
yes,
and Dripping in Jewels Eleganza. Ooh. And the Dripping in Jewels Eleganza look needs to be made by their own two hands.
Yes.
With jewels provided by Fierce Drag Jewels.
Ooh. Mm. And, of course, fabric from the Fabric Planet wall. And Dayla won the mini challenge, so she gets to assign the jewel tones. Which, now, why don't we find out what they are after this brief break?
This episode is brought to you by, ooh, I almost nodded off because this Helix mattress is so comfortable, Helix Sleep!
The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux Collection, the newly released Helix Elite Collection, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and even a mattress made just for kids.
I've had several many Helix mattresses for several many years now, and I love them all. They're all my
babies. I've read the men's room wall.
We have the Midnight Dusk. We have the one for heavy sleepers, and that's also good.
Oh, they're all good.
If you have slumber parties, I love a Helix party. And we are the Helix girls, and we have been for such a long time that we know what works best for us and our bodies. But if you don't know, you could take a Helix sleep quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
They've got models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Also models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions.
Ooh, plus enhanced cooling features to help you from overheating at night.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge.
Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. So that's why they offer a 100-night trial to try out your new Helix mattress and a 10 to 15-year warranty.
Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
Go to helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
This is their best offer yet, and it's not going to last long.
It's so good, I'm going to say it again. That's helixsleep.com/drag and use code HELIXPARTNER20.
With Helix, better sleep starts now.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
We all carry around different stressors, big and small, and when we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively.
Therapy is a safe space to get those things off your chest. You're literally getting them out of you by speaking them and figuring out how to work through whatever's weighing you down.
That's right. And I think, and I've said this before, I think therapy is a very useful tool, whether you've been through something very traumatic or you're just trying to better yourself.
Yeah, and if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. You don't have to leave your house. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Yeah, all the therapists have licenses, so get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit betterhelp.com/drag today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/drag. Oh, we're
Jewel,
back.
My hands are small, I know, but it's a different jewel. Different jewel?
Different jewel.
Oh, sorry. Now, the divas get paired up by Dayla with all of their stones. Dayla is rose quartz. I went to Hebrew school with her. Bianca is sapphire. Adore, diamond. Darian, topaz. Courtney, ruby. So what stone would you want to get in this bunch?
I would have probably taken... Honestly, all of them except ruby. I don't really love red that much.
Really? Well, how dare you, because I'm in my red era. So this podcast is over.
Sapphire would be sapphire. Diamond or topaz. I would take any of them and be happy.
Okay.
But I like that Ben gave Adore diamonds, though, because he said it was the easiest one.
That was nice.
Yeah, she's very gregarious, and just I like that she's very upfront. She doesn't in reality TV, a lot of times people like take time to think about the answer or think about how to play it, and Ben's just honest usually. Like when RuPaul was grilling him last week, he just said, "Oh, well, it has to do with my insecurities and blah 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 blah." And he's not really playing the game with anybody but himself, it feels like, right now. Other than he's playing against RuPaul and Michelle.
Right. Which, I don't know, being nice doesn't always play in a reality TV setting, though, which might, you know.
And Darian literally wants to know why he's being real and being nice and why Adore got the easy jewel tone of diamond. And she quotes, says, "Why not strap cement shoes to her and throw her in the river? It's a competition. Is that wrong to want to win?" And
no.
In Darian's interview, she says, point blank, she's like, "I'm here to win $100,000.
Yeah. And it plays better on reality TV to be like, no, I'm going to be cutthroat and I'm going to do what I have to do to get to the end. It just does.
It also plays well to cry on reality TV.
Well, yes. Or to bribe someone and have a tantrum. That works too.
Vomiting. That's always good.
Right.
Ask Bradonna.
Willem Bradonna'd. Okay. Bradonna did not Willem. Willem Bradonna'd. She invented that. RuPaul.
I upchuck so Bradonna could vomit.
RuPaul comes in for the walkthrough. Oh my gosh.
Honey.
Oh my goodness. Good.
She goes straight to Adore, and Adore is overwhelmed because she's trying to execute her ideas and with fashions. And she doesn't compute why her singing and rapping can't like compute into dressmaking talent.
Right. But RuPaul gives her really good advice, and I think this was a turning point for Adore, because RuPaul says, take those strengths that you have, like the things from the rapping challenge or the singing, and put that into this challenge, which sounds a little preposterous. Yeah. It sounds a little preposterous, but Adore does it because she ends up putting like her humor and her like Adore-ness into each character that she does in this ball. And that's really what like wins it for her. She makes it very much herself and isn't trying to do like, oh, this is what they want or this is the right thing. She's like, I'm going to do this Adore as fuck. And she does. And she might win. We'll see when we get to the end of the episode.
There's a lot of eye cutting when Darian is talking. Definitely. The girls are responding to Darian, saying she's listening to the judges' critique and trying to grow from them. This is literally right after she was yelling about the judges' critiques and how bad they were. And Rue says to her, well, why haven't you won more challenges?
And hi, why haven't you done better on the show that I'm
hate a bitch.
I feel like that's a point what Darian could have just said, I don't know. You are the one who decides.
Right. Why don't you tell me?
Like, it's not that hard.
Diva Trondra.
Well, I was there. I won a quarter of all my challenges.
Oh. Well.
It's not that hard. You just need a little good storyline. You got to cry. And then maybe some other bodily fluids like vomit or more semen.
Sanguine.
Something.
Something.
Helps involve a producer.
RuPaul drops the bomb and says, oh, there's just one more thing. The queens have to perform a very important opening number. And Dayla, because she won the mini challenge, is in charge of choreography. And everyone laughs.
All of them laugh. Courtney gives good interview bite. And she says, the only time I've seen Dayla dance was during her lip sync. And if I recall, she did bear resemblance to a rubber chicken.
Oh, come on. This was one of those interviews at the end of the night when you're starving for dinner and they're like, we need you to say something, a critique about Dayla before you can go eat California Pizza Kitchen.
You guys got CPK? We never got CPK.
We did.
Honey, we were mostly fed on Del Taco and Taco Bell. Because it was the only thing open in Culver City when we were done.
Well, I bet that van ride home was smelled great.
It was not a fun time.
The girls go and do a rehearsal of their dance, you know, routine on the main stage. And this is always where, this is always the cradle of conflict, is always the dance rehearsal.
Yeah, dance rehearsal always brings out lots of people with lots of ideas. Because you start to do something and be like, ooh, what if we did this? And then everybody else is like, what if we did this and this? And then that and that. And there's a lot of cooks. Girl,
there's a lot of input hoes giving input.
Dayla was supposed to be in charge, but Courtney's helping with the choreo. And then
Ellen, is this true? Yes, yes, it is. Oh my God, what brilliant use of delegation. I didn't know how you were going to get it all done. She delegated. She said, I don't know how to dance. Courtney, you do it. And Courtney was like, I know how to do everything.
Back in the workroom, Darian all of a sudden decides that she hates her dress and just starts ripping at it.
Fuck, yeah.
She's starting over.
It's like that scene in Cinderella.
Honestly, except she's Gus and Cinderella.
Bianca, on the other hand, is helping Adore and saying, okay, well, you just gather the fabric. And Adore's like, what? What does that mean? Listen, you duck. Courtney, I'm going to get what I want.
The Cuntney Act Chronicles continue with Courtney looking over at Adore's dress and saying, well, I look it over at Adore's dress, and I know I'm safe. Like, everything she says can either be hilarious or cunty, depending on the music under it. And whose ever eyes they cut away to after.
And her accent just makes her sound like a supervillain in, like, a movie.
Yeah, it makes her sound matter-of-fact. And you know how you think people with accents are always, like, smarter, especially or Australian? Yeah. Like, it makes her sound right, too.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what else is right. RuPaul in this fucking gown on the main stage.
Exactly.
This updo and the belt. I'm in love.
I'm in
love with Ru.
This is giving me Monica Beverly Hills when she did this sort of like flower sort of. They said she looked like a flight attendant for like Hawaiian Airlines or Philippine Airlines. It's very giving me that. But this hair system on RuPaul, it's that very slick, sleek updo. And the paint is a little different, too. I think she just looks exquisite.
Not mad.
Do.
As far as the judging panel, we have Michelle Visage, Santino Rice, and Bob Mackey and Khloe Kardashian. Who's believe?
And Khloe's back for a second time this season right now.
She said, I had to come back. I support Courtney for this. Or no, sorry, Khloe. I support Khloe for this. Courtney's the one who's a contestant. I support Khloe for this because there was a time where, I mean, now Drag Race gets such huge stars on the judging panel as guests. But Khloe Kardashian was like, you know what? I'm fucking doing this show and I'm going to fucking go back. And I thought she was a great judge.
Girl, can I tell you the tea?
Tell me.
You know that they wanted Kim.
What, for this?
Oh, yeah.
And do you think she said no and Khloe filled in?
Do I think?
How do you know this? Honey. Speculative.
Whispers in the Willems.
Tell. Really?
Yes. The same reason Kelly Rowland's on Dilemma and not Beyonce.
Well, you know what? Kim missed out because now Drag Race is the biggest fucking television phenomenon of all time. So
Kim don't want it. She's a lawyer. They don't let lawyers on the show because the contract is so bunk. Jesus. Anyway, this opening number that the girls do is trivial and terrible.
What?
It's trite, but thankfully it's also brief. The number is slapdash. And
you silly.
It's silly. It's a silly little number.
You have to do the things that you do in the group choreo. Yes, you do the hands back and forth. You do the circle around. You
it's
do the
candy
walk.
Ball choreography for
yes.
sure.
Yes, the whole first half of the number is entrances. You enter, you walk down the runway, you each take your one spot, then you come together. That's a big deal.
Ooh,
you
do the grab your prop.
You grab the prop, you do the circle around, then you all kind of get in a fight at the end, and then final pose, and you are done. There is, that is all you must do, and that's all they usually do. But I like this song, they mentioned Mae West, which, you know, foreshadowed my Snatch Game and All-Stars 2, clearly.
Do you think the judges like this song?
I think they clapped at the end of it, but they were clapping because it was over.
I agree.
Because they liked it.
I agree.
I thought they looked all, they all looked stunning.
They all looked clean.
Black dresses with a bow that represents their gemstone. I think, I thought it was charming. And they each had a white stole.
It's
do you just, think these dresses were provided? Yes.
I do think these dresses were provided. And yeah. I'm just... Courtney's wig is bad, too.
She's wearing, like, a red hair with, like, with like highlights.
Yeah, but, like, it's such a weird shape on her.
It's a victory roll.
But the other side is, like, it's just... It's a weird shape on her head. It's like if I Love Lucy tried to be a little prettier. She sure does have her pussy out, though.
Yeah, they're like leotards with like a long skirt. I don't know. I thought it was cute. They did a good job.
Yeah. Darian looks great. That's so they show funny. Adore tripping on the last move and trying to strike a pose and just tripping.
Wow.
Yeah. We're going to get to this runway when we come back from this quick break.
Let's do it. We are on the lookout
for Banshee Girl Bling.
This is a ball. You know the ball is very near and dear to my heart. So let's get into this ball. We get a lot of looks from these dolls and divas.
Balls. The first girl up to the runway is Ben de la Creme, who's in a ruffled crinoline. I'd call it a... like a puff coat shape, but a bolero yes. jacket type of thing.
Yes.
A shorty ruffle coat.
At first glance, it looks like she just wore her underwear, which I have no critique of that because it's one of my favorite things to do. But if you look at it, the details on the bra top and the, you know, hot pants, they have gold metal details.
It's very baby fat, Kimora. Yeah. Lee Simmons. It's very Banshee Girl basics.
Yeah.
But I also see Ben as the type of person who wouldn't want to like go too far into Banshee at the risk of offending any stereotypes that he wouldn't want to offend, you know?
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, for sure.
She's definitely that girl who's conscious. She's Northwest. Courtney.
Right.
Courtney don't care. Courtney knows appropriation.
Well, next we have Adora Delano.
This is right up her alley, and she is the queen of this alley, honey.
She looks so fierce.
So good. 10 out of 10 would wear this outfit.
Yeah, I'm obsessed with each piece. She's wearing like a sort of iridescent leopard print top, jean cutoffs, these silver sparkle thigh-high boots. The pink fur jacket.
The hoop earring.
You have to have a hoop for this category. Was Ben wearing hoops?
Ben was wearing a circular gold earring, which was a chandelier earring almost.
It's hinting at a hoop, but it's not a hoop. And I think the hoop really takes it to where we want it to go.
Same.
Adora understood this assignment so well and looks great. This black bangs hair, gorgeous. Sexy, stunning.
Bianca...
Yes.
Takes her Banji girl realness to like a Debbie Mazur type of Banji, like updo, hair tied up, very like getting her boyfriend's car washed with him, hoop earrings, lots of gold chains. It's Bianca's attempt at Banji.
Yes.
And there's a reason it's Bianca Del Rio, not Banji Del Rio.
The earring is a hoop, but it's a drop hoop, which, okay, I'm here for it. And we're seeing Bianca's legs, which we've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
So she's showing variety in her silhouette. I think this is great. She knows how to put a look together. And I love Bianca's accessory work. Like, she has all these long gold mm-hmm. chains that are just really, really gorgeous. She's really good at fucking accessories.
Yeah, not mad at all.
Next up, we have Miss Darian Lake.
This feels like...
What is going on?
This does not feel Banji. This feels...
It's
disco.
Like Lady Miz Keir, like, sort of...
It feels 90s. Rave.
Yeah, 90s raver.
The hair feels wrong. The accessories feel wrong.
Everything. It's a rainbow checkerboard iridescent jumpsuit
with
and
turquoise
then a blue
inset
bang.
Panels.
Yeah.
To match the hair. It's cute. Is it Banji? Not at gunpoint.
Yeah. It doesn't really take it to like, because when I think Banji, I mean, is Banji a word that we're like, that we're even allowed to say? Like,
yeah, Banji girl.
Okay.
What
is it's like streetwear, right? It's like sort of
a Banji girl is kind of like an around the way girl. Bamboo earrings, at least two pairs, curly weave, Banji girl to me says once you look at the girl, it may be a variety of different things, but the thing that comes across most clearly is that she is a streetwise individual with a flair for trends and fashion.
Okay.
With a street edge. So like maybe a Timberland with like a hoochie pant or something.
It comes from ballroom.
Banji? Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, work. So, yeah, I don't think Darian really hit the mark in that category.
She hit it and then she quit it probably.
She hit it with a car. no, I'm just kidding. Courtney Act.
See... Courtney's from Australia, so she gets a pass. She probably doesn't know what Banji Girl is so much, but she looks beautiful. But this flannel around the waist and then shaking her non-existent flapjack butt. This
don't
part,
body shame her.
Why? I know her, and her butt is so much better now.
I don't.
So
I
we
don't,
can talk about how bad her butt was then, can't we?
No, I don't like saying someone has like. No, oh, you have no ass, or like you don't have enough ass to do that. It's like, okay, it is not the ass, it is the jean. It is the jean short. The jean short is boxy, ill-fitting.
So
and
is
that's
she.
Why, but no, that's why you can't see her rump, which I'm sure is stunning and I'm sure was shaking underneath the flapjack of jean short. I take umbrage with the jean short, not with the body itself. The body is fierce.
Okay. She looks like Avril Lavigne's little brother.
she is wearing a hoop earring, though. Can we put a hoop earring on the scoreboard, please?
Yes, thank you.
Okay.
Next category to the floor is executive realness, platinum card. Ben.
Yes.
Ben looks like...
big business.
Who's the lady... who helps Anastasia. She's the relative with the blonde hair.
Okay. I don't know.
In Anastasia movie. She's
I only
got, like,
know
big
Anastasia
blonde,
the singer.
Bernadette Peters. So does Michelle. Bernadette
One
Peters
day in
plays
your
her.
Life, I'll never find you. You. How there you go. Leave it all behind.
Ben de la Creme does not look like he's going to boardrooms in this. But, you know, we're drag queens and this is how we interpret business. And this is like the big business outfit, but they read him on the judging panel later for it. And I think they just need an excuse. Well, would you sign a deal in this? It's like, no, but we're also drag queens.
So well, it depends on what year, because this is very like Crystal Carrington, you know, Alexis.
Yeah,
you know.
I feel like the accessories take it out of the boardroom. If she would have had a briefcase instead of a clutch, that could have been more boardroom.
The fascinatrix takes it to like almost funereal. Mm-hmm. It's really like small tweaks that could have made it work
small
a
tweaks,
little bit
we'll do
more.
Courtney later.
I think she looks really fabulous, and she looks like Ben de la Creme, which is important for branding. For a ball challenge, though, is kind of an opportunity to show different sides of your character, and then maybe on the Eleganza be really like classic Ben de la Creme. So in this instance, her going classic silhouette when she's been told, don't do classic silhouette, I think that's why they took umbrage with this.
Mm-hmm. Adore looks like Adore comes out and she looks like she's going to a community college job fair.
This is showing a different side of the character.
Yeah.
And meeting the category.
Ripping open her shirt so buttons pop. It's simple, it's timeless, it works. And it works for Adore.
It's more very Britney womanizer, you know, in the office chair doing choreography.
Next up, we got Bianca. And she's wearing a minty number. It's businessy. It's very, what's the word? It's very Dora Lee, round the desk. Like, very cutesy, short mini skirt. Ally McBeal feels.
Right. Very that. She knows how to nail the category. It's tweed. Again, the accessory is, I mean, I'm obsessed with these long necklaces she's wearing. Like, she's really the queen of accessorizing.
That's the thing, you wear a necklace long enough, you don't have to tuck.
She tops it off with like a hand, it's a clutch and a pair of glasses, and it really just, and the hair is in a chignon. It really is taking us to the office, to the executive. She nailed this. I love this. I think she looks great.
Yeah, and the hair is always so right on her.
Oh girl. Yeah.
Darian comes out for executive realness as a record executive or something cool. It's ready to wear. It says nothing about business or executive. I think
she looks like Katie Seagal in Rebel. That's what she looks like.
Very that. Yeah.
It's like I'm a hip chick, god damn it. You know? Like Sons of Anarchy, Katie Seagal. Like, always the pleather jacket and then a flashy top and then the pant. Does it say executive, you know? Maybe.
But she had to explain it to someone else.
Well, she had to explain it, though. She had to say, I'm a music executive. Because it really does give music executive.
Can I tell you about this next door outfit that Courtney wears? She wore this blazer to club gigs. And at this one gig,
what's wrong with that?
A blazer at a club gig.
What's wrong with that?
A blazer. It's a beautiful blazer, but she wore it at a club gig and she fell on the floor trying to enter the stage. And that's what you get for wearing a blazer to a fucking club.
Wait, she fell on the floor?
Uh-huh, it was great.
I love this blazer, though. She Me nailed too. This category.
But she already wore this hair and she owned a wig company.
Good Penny.
The Good Penny.
Now,
not the Penny Topper, because she was not in the top for this.
Now, I haven't seen a ton of executives in finger waves because it is a time-consuming style. And if you're on the go, but maybe she had to do a red carpet at six, you know?
Oh, like after but bare legs for business? I've never. Not...
Well, I know you've done some business with your bare legs. I'll just say that. I'll just say that.
The next up is dripping in diamonds or jewel eleganza.
The eleganza look. Yes.
Yeah. And this red look that Ben comes out in, or garnet, or what is it? Rose quartz. It looks like it could have came out from under the suit. It's like the same shape, same like type of. It feels very Gypsy Rose Lee. Like, boom, ba-da-dum, ba-da-dum.
You got to have a gimmick if you want to get ahead. It's exactly that showgirl silhouette, which is I will say that Ben de la Creme has done a really good job of securing her personal brand during her journey on Drag Race. She said, this is what you are going to expect to see when you come to a Ben de la Creme show in the future.
You like tiny hats? I got them. You like huge hats? Got those too.
Honey. And she looks great. Yeah. Is it the same silhouette as the Big Business and some of the other things that she's been critiqued for wearing? Yes.
Yes.
But she looks fabulous, and that is undeniable.
What do you think of Adore's look, this diamond Blade Runner fantasy princess?
I love this. This is so high fashion. It's so edgy. It's so avant-garde. The ankle white platform boot almost gives me like ice skate, which kind of goes with diamonds. The tutu, I don't know if she sprayed it or if it ombres somehow. It ombres sort of silver at the bottom, almost like it's burnt.
Oh yeah, it's really great, the gradation of color, and her presentation is good. This is one of her best looks on the runway this season.
I'm obsessed.
The TR is askew. She's giving youth.
And she gives it full Adore Delano. She gave it her own spin, and it was very, very successful. Very well done.
Bianca looks like a toilet paper cozy in blue. Just ruffles in weird spots. Ruffles on the wrist, ruffles on the head, ruffles at the titties. And it's a well-made, attractive garment. But we've seen it so many times from her, and the judges kind of read her for that.
Well, but we haven't seen this exact, you know, big ornate ruffles around the shoulders from her.
Go ahead, sorry.
What?
I feel like we have. She's definitely done a ruffle dress. Not this ruffle, but she's done a ruffle around the shoulder with this column gown, some shit on her head, and an earring.
I find it really wild that Bob Mackie was so harsh in his critiques of Bianca, because this feels kind of Bob Mackie-ish to me. It's like big and like voluminous and like sparkly. I just thought it was really wild that Bob Mackie was like, no, I fucking hate it. It's old fashioned. It's nothing new.
Honestly, he's right. It's middle of the road. I wish it went further with the ruffle. Like if one of the ruffles was asymmetrical and huge, and then she had some leg out, and like, it's just, she looks like an old lady. Nobody would go into the store and pick that dress and say, ooh, you're going to be worn by a man in his 30s. Woman in their 50s.
I would buy it. And the one critique I guess...
I wouldn't go out with you if you wore that. I'd be like, go yes, change. Get out of my car.
Yes, you fucking would.
You know what? I would.
I've worn
and then
some
I'd,
bullshit.
And then I'd and make you stand next to me in the picture so I looked better.
The one thing I will say is that Bianca's look does not showcase the stones, really. I mean, the stones are sort of the second thing you think of. The first thing you see is the ruffles and the volume.
The frill of it all.
You don't look at it and say, oh, this is giving me a stone. This is giving me a sparkly, glittery stone. It's like, oh, it's a beautiful blue ensemble.
Beautiful blues.
Beautiful blues.
Representing topaz, we have dip Ms. your toe Darion. Into the cooling waters of Darion Lake.
Yes.
Honey, she got droopy dick because these crystals made her dress droop and stretch out. So what should have been her crotch area is now like a lower fupa knee area.
Yes. And this is one of those unfortunate structural changes that you do it on the dress form or whatever, or on the table or whatever, and you can't predict that the stones are going to pull it down in this way. And by the time you put it on, what the fuck are you supposed to do? I guess she could have done ruching like up the sides.
Up the center, but the center or the sides. But I don't know how successful that would have been silhouette wise, you know?
Right.
She looks beautiful.
She does look beautiful, and it is all about the stones. And this sort of is reminiscent of what something Eureka O'Hara recently did, which was the sort of nude illusion, like showgirl silhouette. And it's really showcasing the stones, and she fucking looks sexy and like gorgeous.
Yeah, I think she looks. She's something. Next up, we have Courtney in Red for Filth.
Red for Filth. So we Courtney, need RuPaul saying it.
Courtney took a sparkle bra, covered it, covered it with some red fabric, took a belt, panty.
Yeah.
Gave it an asymmetrical. I like that she used asymmetry to cover up her lack of finesse with the sewing machine and fabric. Mm-hmm. She styled it very well. She
painted her forehead red, which is what you do. You paint your forehead a color when you want to get edgy.
Mm-hmm.
You just do it.
And she wore dark hair.
She did. Courtney Dack did a really good job of showing us another side of Courtney in this moment. I was really thrilled with this.
But does it show the humanity that RuPaul is looking for?
No, because she looks like a demon from hell. So she's giving a demon. A satanic demon woman. Red for Filth. Should we take a break and come back? We are back, and these dolls are covered in jewels. They're covered from head to topaz. Head to topaz.
I see what you did there.
I stole it from the judges. I didn't make it up.
Miss Khloe Kardashian is giving some comments about Ben de la Creme, and she says that she was
Banshee.
Confused.
She says Banshee girl.
She does say Banshee for sure. I heard that too.
Something screaming monster demon. Yeah, no, you definitely did.
Yeah. She's like, you're not a Banshee at all. You're soft-spoken. So we know why Khloe Kardashian was confused. But she didn't know what the fuck a Banshee was.
And Kourtney Kardashian dressed like a sailor. God bless her. God bless her. They told her the wrong assignment.
Michelle does not think that Dayla could run a business in her cocktail dress, which is wrong because it's not a cocktail dress. It's a business lady suit. A cocktail dress would be one piece, and that was not. Yeah. Michelle is talking out her ass. She knows Ben's going to be in the bottom, and she's just picking. She's like, could you really run a business? No, but could Adora run a business with all the buttons ripped off her shirt either? Come
yes.
on. You would expect
she could run Samantha Jones PR.
I don't see any of these girls running businesses in their business attire.
Sex. Michelle, okay. Michelle and all the judges are raving about Adore. But Bob Mackie kept being like, yeah, you look great. You were so hilarious. Like, he was like, yeah, you made me laugh every category. It's like, I don't know that she, well, some of them they had humorous elements, but I don't think her eleganza was meant to be humorous. She was giving it straight glamour.
She was trying.
Bob Mackie.
Me too. Bob says that Bianca looks like a mother at a bar mitzvah and her dress wasn't new or different. This is the harshest Bianca critique ever. Yeah. Chloe says wearing...
I think that was by design because they obviously wanted to see, the show wanted to see Bianca make it to the end.
Yeah.
But yes, there is that sort of invulnerable sort of steamroller just kind of crushing it. So they had to fuck with her a little bit and like literally they were like, okay, how about Bob Mackie tells you you're a piece of shit who can't make clothes? That'll shake her up. That'll shake up anyone.
They didn't say she couldn't make clothes. They just said her look was dated and was nothing new or good, and they didn't like it. It didn't move the needle forward, they said.
Yeah.
Darian gets some harsh critique with her Banshee Girl look. They say it was more of a rave look. Everybody she hates said, her shoes.
They said, oh, where are you an executive? Jiffy Lube?
I just don't get that. Michelle says Courtney was not Banshee. She was a rocker chick. And she says, but I had on gold bamboo earrings, Michelle. And
don't talk back to Michelle.
Michelle is not the one to argue about hoops and Banshee Girl. Michelle is Banshee Girl. And she's also That's not true. One. This is one of the things where Michelle has been adamant about not body shaming people on the show, but she does body shame people, and she body shames Courtney here.
Like you did on the podcast.
I'm Courtney's friend. Michelle hates Courtney. Right. I'm allowed to make fun of Courtney. Somebody has to. Now that, you know, it keeps her humble.
I hear that. And, you know, because of my body type that I am, you know, born with, I have been told so many times in my life, like, oh, you have no ass. You have no ass.
Eat a burger.
And it doesn't feel good because it is like that sort of,
yeah, it feels bony. It doesn't feel good. You keep hitting your hip bones on it.
You're such a cunt.
I know.
No, it does. It is body. All I'm saying is body shaming goes for any type of body type. Like,
and it's a shame what Courtney did to her body with those tiny little hip pads.
It's a shame.
And then she's like, Michelle, look, there's pads in here. And Michelle, when she calls you girl, when she said girl, it was so small. You need to pad more.
She pulls out one of those thin wafer pads. Look, I've had
it. It's literally an insole for her hip. I've seen thicker Dr. Scholl's, and Courtney's trying to make her body with it right. Uh-uh. Bye, girl. BMW. Body made Wollongong.
Oh, my God.
But Courtney's eleganza gown is beautiful. Santino loves it. Michelle's bored with Courtney's pretty gimmick at this point. What is she supposed to do? Cover her beautiful face? Will that make Michelle happy if she goes like Kim K to the Met Ball?
She covered it with fucking red glitter. She did exactly that. A pretty gimmick. Being beautiful isn't a gimmick.
But Michelle,
believe me, I know.
Michelle and Santino get into it, and Michelle's finally like, you'd say anything just to be the opposite of me. And Santino's like, no. But it's obvious Michelle has it out for Courtney. RuPaul says, silence, bring back my jewels. And then she lays the question on all these bitches. She says, who should go home and why?
Yep. And everybody says Darian.
Well, no. First, Courtney says, well, if we were going on track record, I'd say Adore. She's been in a slump. But if we're going on this episode, I'd say Darian. So send them both home.
Right.
Literally.
Like, Courtney,
pass me the shovel. Let me dig a little here.
Right. No, I love her so much. And she's completely honest at all times. And this is what she was feeling in that moment. But it also comes across as like, well, I think that cunt should go home. I think that cunt over there should go home. You should go home too, actually, now that I think about it. And then it's like, you get in the silver bar later. And it's like, everybody's like, what the fuck, bitch? How dare you? But most everyone says Darian, and Darian says herself.
Yeah. A refreshing honesty is nice.
She realizes that she had some structural issues with her, you know, her looks this week. So.
It's not her fault. Those stones, she couldn't have known how heavy they were on that stretch dress.
It's not her fault. Leave her alone.
Adore wins, and she gets a drag-tastic costume from Kika Custom Designs.
Ooh.
I wonder if she ever got it.
Well, I'm sure that it was a stunning Kika custom. The safe dolls are Bianca and Court Nalina, and the bottom two are Dayla and Darion.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have lip synced against one another in the past when it was a double Shantae.
So this time it probably won't be. And Ben is literally saying that in the interview. The lip sync song is What Doesn't Kill You Makes You Stronger by Kelly Clarkson.
Yeah.
And Darian is really feeling the song. It feels like she's embodying it with all that body. And
girl, look at this body. Girl, look at that body. That's a Jiggly Caliente song. It's really good. I'm on it. Darian Lake. I thought they both did a great job of this, but Darian Lake brought that intensity, the sort of emotional, like, this is my last moment to, like, turn it around. Mm-hmm. And you could really see that. And she was really acting that. And Darian Lake wins the lip sync.
So that means Dayla doesn't make it to the top four. But who knows? I wonder if she'll ever do anything with her career.
I have a feeling.
You haven't seen the last of Dayla.
Dayla Cram.
I have a lot to say about Dayla, which I'll save for after this next segment, which is when we check in with the queen from New York who has no problems. I know how to sew. I work all the time.
This is a little section we call Bianca Babbles. Battle for your life, Bianca Babylon.
You had a moment with Ben de la Creme on the runway during the glitter ball, and she said that you were sailing through the competition, and you said, oh no, honey, tell us about the...
Well, it started because we were all... Let me think how it goes. That was the Bob Mackie episode, and this is where I think I went wrong. Every time they brought up a judge or whoever was going to be on there, I was always like, golf claps. And then when Bob Mackie came, I was like, oh my God, in confessional, I'm like, I love Bob Mackie. He's done this, 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 and Bob Mackie's the best and blah, 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 blah. I didn't realize I was setting myself up. Whereas this is the moment that no matter what I do, Bob Mackie's going to hate it. And that's just that. So I was just in that zone. But in that room earlier for that challenge, I'd helped Ben make his skirt. So I cut his skirt for him and went ahead and helped him arrange it and gathered it for him on the machine. So when we got out there, I took it as, you know, in that voice that she uses, she was just like, well, you know, we're not going to sail through the competition just like Bianca. And I was just like, I'm thinking, I made your fucking skirt, cunt. Like, don't pick me. Because at this point, we all picked Darian. So I was just like, oh, that's why I was so angry. Because it just took me out of nowhere. I was just like, you fucking troll. How dare you drag me? And then I was like, I hope she goes home. Fuck you, bitch. And that's where I was mentally. That was like a competitive thing. Because I thought, how dare you? I cut your fucking skirt. And that was what happened.
Honestly, whenever you're in a room with a girl, every girl ends up looking better. You've done my hair multiple times. Yes. You've helped me. Like, you pulled me aside at an after party in Amsterdam and said, Queen, come here.
Yeah. Well, my favorite thing is somebody told me once. She goes, the best things you can hear and the most terrifying things you can hear is when Bianca walks in the room and goes, sit down.
It is. It really is.
Or, truly. Where's your earrings? Where's your earrings?
The earrings.
Yeah, and you gotta have them.
I didn't watch Untucked.
Confessions of a podcastress. I didn't watch Untucked. Oh, and Dipper just signed back into the room to catch you. Wow, you're getting written up. You're getting written up. Untucked happened, whether you watched it or not.
They do tell the charming story that Courtney likes to tell whenever she wants to get some humanity in there about her Mr. Chinese.
Did your mic go weird?
Oh, yeah, Mike is here. Courtney gets to regale everyone with this story that she trots out whenever she needs a little bit of humanity about the time that she won the child beauty pageant and was named Mr. Tiny Tot. 1956.
And she won a car at 5 years old. I mean, this is like
this
Courtney.
Little bitch.
Courtney, you she keeps on digging with that golden shovel that she won at age four. I mean, it's literally like, we just want a little more realness, like a little more like vulnerability from you. Like, there's a picture of me when I was five. I got crowned the most beautiful child in all of Australia and I won a car. Oh my God. She's just had a really blessed life. That's not her fault.
She's like, it was a sensible sedan. Look, I'm a normal person.
I'm a normal person.
Do you think Bianca was trying to summon some tears for Lola? She gets a video message from a girl she knows from back home who calls her Roy Lady.
Yeah, that's also her Craigslist name. And she gets a letter from Lola LaCroix, which I had no idea they were that close.
Oh, yeah, Bianca invented candles.
Lola says a lot of really nice things. No, well, I think we got some almost tears from Bianca for sure. And
I think she teared up when she wanted to bite off Ben's head. She didn't tear. She almost teared.
Yeah, she almost teared.
Ben said on the runway that Bianca was sailing through the competition or sailing.
But sailing through, winning everything. And Bianca was like, that is the meanest thing you can say to me.
It felt like, you know, maybe in Bianca's head, she thought that Ben saying sailing was meaning the judges were giving her a pass. But in reality, I thought Ben was complimenting her, like saying she's doing great at everything. She's winning, you know, she's bringing it up. But who knows? This was literally 7 years ago.
Yes. And I mean, the big takeaway for me from this Untucked was Ben de la Creme's exit. She had so much positivity, so many like uplifting words for the viewers at home. And I can't say enough about how much I love and respect Ben de la Creme. And obviously one of the most brilliant and talented queens to ever come out mm-hmm. of Drag Race or to ever, you know, wear a frock. So we applaud you, Ben de la Creme. This was not your season, but your season was yet to come.
And I applaud him for, you know, making the other girls work and writing the longest lipstick message we've ever had just to fuck with those other
bitches.
That's
a very you thing. That's honey, a very you thing, honey.
I love a little cunty stunty.
We love it.
And we love you for listening and joining us on Race Chaser Classique this week. Doom, 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 doom. I'm Willem.
And I'm Alaska. And we would love for you to write a review of this podcast on your podcast app. And don't forget to subscribe. Take a moment to leave us a rating, too, if you want.
Mm-hmm. And you can follow the dolls at Willem at the Only Alaska 5000. And our Race Chaser account is Race Chaser Pod. And the Mom Podcast account is Mom Podcast. And you can see something.
Exactly. And plus, we've got bonus content available now at patreon.com/Willem. You can search for Race Chaser content by searching the hashtag, you guessed it, Race Chaser.
Oh, and just to let you know, you can email us about anything you want at racechaserpodcast@gmail.com.
Stay safe, get the vax, respect each other out in the world. Mm-hmm. But head to Topaz, I know Paz.
Race Chaser. Race Chaser is not endorsed by World of Wonder, Viacom, or any of their subsidiaries. It is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. RuPaul's Drag Race and all names, pictures, audio, and video clips are registered trademarks and or copyrights of their respective trademark and or copyright holders.
Forever Dog.
Race Chaser with Alaska and Willem is a Forever Dog podcast.
Produced by Big Dipper.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey.
Mixed and mastered by Will Pitts.
Our theme song is Race Chaser by Alaska Thunderfuck.